turn in the Word of God, please, this evening to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 19, please, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, we'll break into the chapter there at the verse 13. Let's hear what the Word of God would say to our hearts this evening. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Turn again in the portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 19, please. Just as you're turning it up, I'm sure you're no different than me. I heard the news during the week about some fines in England that went back to July there. How a man out with his metal detector found gold, Saxon gold, all things from the Saxon era. And I'm sure, as people heard that on the radio, oh, I would love to have found that. And I'm sure there was a sales pitch on metal detectors, as people thought, I'll go and buy a metal detector and I'll find gold. But you know, here's a young man who was wise. Here's a young man who wasn't interested in going for riches. Here's a young man who wanted to get to Christ. You see, there was something bothering him, something more than gold. Here was a young man who was searching for eternal life. This evening, what would you be running after? Would you be running after a metal detector to get possession of this world's gold? Or would you say, I need to get to Christ. I need to find out how I can have eternal life. I trust that there'll be people seeking the things of God, not the things of time and sense, that people would be wise and consider their latter end. Just turn in Matthew chapter 19. There's really only one verse I want to read again with you, or maybe even just a couple. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, that's unto Jesus, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, that's Jesus, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And maybe we'll just go down to verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Let's just still our hearts, please, for a moment. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for the message of the gospel that Jesus saves. We thank you, O God, that thou hast a people and none of them will be lost. We thank you, O God, that thou wilt save. And we thank you, O God, that the works of Satan will never stop for the people that, O God, thou Christ has died for. We pray, Lord, now as we consider thy precious word, that, O God, that thou wouldst give wisdom. Give wisdom, O God, to the unsaved, that they would be wise and consider their latter end. O God, that thou wouldst give them those gifts of faith and repentance. O God, repenting from their sin and faith in God, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst work. Close us, O God, in for the minutes that are left with thyself. Speak, O God, encourage us, thy people as well as in our walk with God. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Here we've got 1 of the accounts of this young man. Here he's referred to as a young man. In the other synoptic gospels, Mark and Luke, we've accounts of this young man coming to the Saviour, and we see him not only referred to as a young man, but he's a rich young man. He's actually a young ruler. And we can study those three portions of Scripture and see the whole picture that the Spirit of God would portray of this young man coming to the Saviour. There's an interest in this young man's heart to get to the Saviour. One of the portions reminds us that this young man came running. He felt there was no time to delay. There was an urgency in this young man's heart to get to the Saviour. Why? There was a question upon his heart. There was a thirst. There was a desire after eternal life. But as I just look at this young man for a few minutes, I see a young man with wisdom stamped all over him. There's a young man here and he's wisdom. He's a wise young man. And the reason I say he's a wise young man is, firstly, consider his position. He was a ruler. He was a young man who ruled over a territory, a piece of land and people. He was a wise young man. You see, a prince or a ruler was synonymous with wisdom. You look through pearls of wisdom found in Proverbs, and you'll see that rulers, those princes who were in power and authority, were synonymous with wisdom. They were wise. Here's a young man. He's wise because, firstly, of his position in life. He's a ruler. He rules over people. Secondly, I believe he's wise, not only because of his position, but because of his possessions. He's got possessions. The Word of God tells us he's many possessions. He's rich. He's full of this world's goods. And you know this? You go to Solomon again in Proverbs. And you know what he says? It's wise men, strong men who retain riches. His possessions that he has possessed, that he's got in his possession, indicates that he was a wise young man. Here's a young man who's got possession. Here's a young man who's got possession. You would say, looking at this young man, he's got all that the world has to offer. And yet, through it all, there's no peace in his heart. He finds no peace in his soul. But you see, humanly speaking, I'm sure this was a young man that any parent, mother or father, even today, would be proud to have as a son. Proverbs again, what does Solomon say? A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And surely we live in a day when young people are foolish. They're the heaviness of their mother. Why? Because they've no interest in the things of God. You see, they're fools. They're not wise. They break a mother and a father's heart as they carry on in their sin. They think with youth that they know better than their mother and their father. And sadly, young people brought up under gospel teaching in reality are foolish. They've no desire for the things of God. And yet I'm sure as you look at this young man, here's a young man who would give pride to any father and mother's heart. Not only had he possessions, not only had he power and a position, but here's a young man who was personable. Here was a young man who had manners, who presented himself very well. Look at how he came to the Saviour. He comes to him and one of the scriptures says he kneels down. And what does he call him? Good Master. Here's a young man who's personable. It reminds me many the time of the thoughts that C.H. Spurgeon said. He said there's some Christians you meet. And he says, you know what? The best time to meet them was in heaven. But here's a young man, unsaved though he was, he's personable. He's got a manner that ingratiates himself with people. And here he comes running to the Saviour and he kneels down. See the sign of respect. He kneels down at the Saviour's feet. What a sign of respect. And then he utters these good words, good Master. You see the wisdom in this young man. He knows where to go to. He's coming to the Son of God. He's coming to the Son of God to solve his problems. What a reputation this young man has. You look further down, He's kept the last six commandments. Those commandments that are manward. See the first four? They're Godward. Here's a young man who's kept the last six. And no one, I'm sure, in that society could point the finger at that young man and say anything contrary to him. They would all have to admit, there's a young man who behaves himself wise. In fact, there's a young man, you would nearly think he was a Christian. And how many people attend the house of God, and you look at their outward lives, and people would say, that person must be a Christian. They just look at the outward part. And I'm sure if you looked at that young man's life, you would have thought, what a Christian. Look at it, the outside, his behaviour, his conduct. But look, there's a problem within. Here's a young man, and there's a problem. He needs to get this problem solved, and he needs to get it solved urgently. And sinner, maybe you're hiding behind a facade of good works where no one could actually point the finger at you. They would have to say, there's a man who wouldn't even hurt a fly. But there's still a problem with the heart. There's some problem, an internal problem. There's no peace with God. And here's a young man, and I see finally a wise young man, for here he comes and he's desirous of something that's worth more than anything else in this world. Here's a young man, and he's seeking eternal life. Is there anyone here tonight seeking eternal life? When's the last time you considered eternal life? Have you ever thought of eternity? Or maybe you're so consumed with time, with possessions, that you give no thought whatsoever to eternity and eternal life. The church has sent out leaflets. We live in a world that's busy. People haven't time to speak for making money. They want the greatest possessions, the biggest house. Oh, that men and women would consider Christ. And here's a young man, and up to this point he's wise. He's got possessions. He's got position. He's got it all. But he wants something more. He realizes that he's not satisfied in life. There's something more to live for. Here's a young man, and he comes looking for eternal life. You see the sadness of this story? He's coming to the right person to find eternal life. And he goes away. And maybe you've attended church in the past. You've come again and again. Oh, that you would never turn away from Christ and leave sorrowful. Here's a young man. He came to the door of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking for eternal life. Do you know what? He didn't take that step. And he went away sorrowful. And I want to consider just for a few minutes, when I look at this young man and his life, he fulfilled all the commandments. The last six. No one could point the finger at him. He was working his way to heaven. Will bring you sorrow. Here was a young man, and he was working his way to heaven. And do you know what it brought him? It brought him sorrow. And you see, you, if you're going to try and work your way to heaven, it'll bring you nothing but sorrow. The first thing I want you to consider is the quest he had. Here's the quest that this young man was on. It was the sole quest in his life. Here was a young man, and he was looking for eternal life. Here was a young man who was searching. He was inquisitive. He knew there was something more to life than what he had. He was looking for eternal life. As I've already said, here's a young man who I'd say has wisdom. Here's a young man who's wise. Here's a young man who's considering his latter end. He's a quest for eternal life. Man, woman, boy or girl, is there a desire in your heart for eternal life? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to have peace with God? A peace that's worth all the money, worth more than all the money in this world. Are you happy with the crumbs of this world, whatever they may be? Are you seeking eternal life? Here's a young man who I believe had an unquenchable thirst. It was insatiable. I believe here was a young man who had been looking for eternal life from his youth up. Do you see what he said to the Saviour, or when the Saviour said about keeping the commandments? Verse 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Here's a young man who I believe thought he would have eternal life through doing these commandments. I've done them all my life. I've tried them, but there's no satisfaction to be had. You see, he erroneously thought that he got peace with God by keeping the commandments. By doing these commandments and doing them by himself. He thought, well, I'll attain eternal life. Do you know what this young man found out? He was chasing a mirage. Do you know that those who are thirsty in a desert, out in the desert and they see in the sand and the heat, there's a mirage. It's like an oasis. And they see like a pool of water, and what do? They search for it. And they run towards it. They give all their strength to get there, to get satisfaction in water, to quench their thirst. And what do they find when they get there? There's nothing. There's a quest for water, but it doesn't satisfy. Why? It's an illusion. And here's a young man. He thinks by keeping these commandments that he'll get eternal life. Do you know what? He's disappointed. There's no satisfaction. Because he asks the question, what lack I yet? What else must I do to attain eternal life? Here he is. He's desirous of eternal life. Have you a desire for eternal life? Is there a quest in your life for peace with God? Do you see the sinner in his natural state? Do you know how the Scripture describes it? At enmity with God. You see, they don't want to be conformed to God's law. They want to go their own way. Man of himself will never seek after God. And here's a young man. There's a quest in his heart for eternal life. Are you seeking eternal life? Do you know that eternal life exists? Peace with God. Do you know what? Eternal life. Do you know what the opposite is? Eternal death. And you see, if you don't possess eternal life, do you know what you'll have instead? Eternal death and hell. Have you ever stopped to consider that? Oh no, I don't possess eternal life. You already have the wrath of God over your head and eternal death. And surely that should awake us. There should be a need in our heart that we must have eternal life. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a young man. He's looking eternal life. Where's he looking? He's looking in the wrong places. And maybe that's just you, looking in the wrong places. Yes, there's a desire to have eternal life and peace with God. But you think you'll go your own way. Just like this young man. What good thing can I do that I may have eternal life? You're on a quest for eternal life, but you're going your own way. You'll not come God's way. You'll go to false religion, church attendance, pay money into the church, do good to your neighbours. And you'll go down all the various routes trying to find eternal life, but to no avail. You've tried them all and there's no peace. There's no peace with God. Why? Because you're going the wrong way. See, there's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. You can try all the other ways, but they'll not lead to eternal life. They'll lead to eternal death. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, I see an urgency. The young man comes running. He has a real concern in his soul for the condition that he's in. Man and woman, have you a concern for your own soul? Do you realize that if you die without Christ, you'll go out to hell forever? That there's no escape whatsoever? Christian, how do we live our lives? Do we realize that friends and family are on their way to hell? And do we dilly-dally through life? Or do we witness to them and tell them there is eternal life? And it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone on a quest for eternal life? Is there anyone searching for peace with God? Like this young man. See the desire in his heart. He needs to have peace with God. And he comes running
to the Saviour. What value are you placing in your soul? What are you selling your soul for this evening? What are you choosing instead of eternal life? What's your quest in life? Fame, fortune, a fancy house? Let's utter some sobering words. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Can you see that? Can you see the balance? Maybe there's some here, ladies, who cook, and what have you got? You've scales. And on one side you set a weight, and on the other side you set the ingredients and you start to pour them on. And when they start to balance, you've hit the weight. Well, let's put all on one side of the scales the riches of this world. More than the gold that was found in England by that metal detector. Let's put it all on. Put it down on one side and let's just lift one soul and put it on the other side. Do you see how quickly it balances over? Your soul is worth more than all the riches in this world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lost his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Surely when you see the value of that, there should be a quest for eternal life. Oh, that you would be wise and consider your latter end, that you would consider Christ. Secondly, the question that he asked, what shall I do? Here's a young man, and he's got the wrong perspective. Yes, he's in a search for eternal life, but what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Is that the question you ask? What good thing can I do? What is it that I can do and earn my way to heaven? You know, that's the world's full of people who are trying to work their way to heaven. The world is full of people trying to find their own way to heaven. What can I do? You know, that's a sign of false religion. You look at every false religion in this world. You know what the emphasis is? What can each one do to merit eternal life? What can I do to have peace with God? Whatever it is, good works, name it whatever it is. But all false religions, it's the exact same. What can I do? It's all about me. Do you know what? The gospel's not about me. The gospel isn't man-centered. It's Christ-centered. It's already done. It's done on the cross of Calvary. But here's a young man. He's confused spiritually. He had confused the spiritual with the outward. Here was a young man. He thought, I could earn my way to heaven. I can obtain eternal life all by myself. Do you see where the thinking is flawed? His thinking is flawed. He thinks that he can earn eternal life. Man, woman, boy or girl, is your thinking flawed? Is your thinking that I can get to heaven my own way, by my own methods? Do you know what? Your thinking is flawed. You're deceived. And you know what? Jeremiah the prophet, he paints a wonderful picture of the heart. What does he say? The heart is deceitful. Yes, he does. But he goes even farther. He says the heart is deceitful above all things. The deceit of the heart is deceitful above all things. There's nothing else to be compared to the deceitfulness of man's heart. And maybe the heart, your heart's deceiving you into thinking, what shall I do? I can inherit eternal life my way. You're being deceived. Your heart is deceiving you. You know what? This young man was deceived. He was deceived into thinking, what shall I do? He was deluded. He was deluded into thinking, there's something that I can do to earn favour with God. Sadly, how many a person walks our streets, drives our roads, and thinks the very same? They're deluded into thinking, by their works, I'm okay. Maybe there's folks here who do outreach. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You ask them, are you saved? Well, I'm doing the best I can. Have you got eternal life? Well, I hope so. Well, how are you getting it? Well, I go to church. I do this and I do that. They're deluded. They're deceived into thinking that they can earn favour with God through themselves. And yet it's nothing like that. They have to trust Christ. What are you depending on this evening? Are you depending on Christ plus your good works? Are you depending on Christ plus your church attendance? The gospel's all of Christ. It's not Christ plus something else, baptism, confirmation, whatever. It's Christ and Christ alone. You can't earn your own salvation. You can't work your way to heaven. You know why? You'll go away sorrowful. And the Savior says to this young man, keep the commandments. And the young man says, look, I've done all this, but what do I lack? Yes, he had kept the outward appearance. Had he kept the inward appearance? Oh, he says, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't stole. I haven't bore false witness. I honour my father and mother. Love the neighbour as thyself. I've done them all from my youth. But what do I lack? There was no peace with God. Do you know if you hate a brother? The scriptures tell us it's murder. Okay, you haven't went and killed a person. But if you have a hatred in your heart for your brother, do you know what God says? It's sin. Do you know what God says? It's murder. And what has he done? Broken the law of God. Or he says adultery. If you look at a woman, that's adultery. Yes, he was able to say, outwardly, he hadn't broken the law of God. Do you know what? Inwardly, spiritually, I'm sure here's a young man who had broken the law of God. What do I lack? What is it missing in my life? It was reality. He was missing out with God. See, the Savior didn't mention the first four commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You see, the Savior gets to the heart of the problem. He says to the young man, you see everything that you own? Sell them. Give to the poor and come and follow me. You see, this young man wasn't going to be saved by selling all his possessions and giving them to the poor. You see, Christ got to the real problem of it. There was an idol in this young man's heart. There was a God in this young man's heart. And he wasn't prepared to give it up. It was his money. It was his possessions. He had great possessions. This evening, what are you selling your soul for? Are you going away sorrowful? Is there something you're putting before Christ in your life? Is there something that you hold more dear than the Savior? Are you going to go away from him sorrowful tonight, just like this young man? Or will you take Christ as your own and personal Savior? Go away sorrowful from the Savior and end up in hell and torment for all eternity. What are you selling your soul for tonight? It's not worth it for an eternity in hell. Oh, that you would be wise and consider your latter end. What shall I do? There's nothing you do. It's already done. Christ has paid the price on Calvary. You know, there's many a person wants to do something great. Do you remember the king? Came to see the prophet. I've got leprosy. Leprosy is a picture of sin. And he says, go and dip in the Jordan. Go and dip in the dirtiest river around this place and you'll be healed. Do you know what he said about, oh, if I had some great thing, I would go and do it. If there was some great thing to be achieved, that there would be notoriety about, oh yeah, I would go and do that. But I don't want to go and humble myself and get into a dirty river. And you know what? Many a man and woman, boy and girl, will not humble themselves at the feet of the Son of God. Why? They're too full of pride. There's something else in their heart that takes precedence. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? There's nothing you can do. It's already done by Christ on the cross. Finally, the quester. This young man stood before. He had a quest in life. He had a question. And here's a quester. You know that word actually comes from the Roman Empire. And it means judge. This young man stood before the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us God will judge this world by that man, Jesus Christ. And the quester he stood before that day was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You, this man, woman, boy and girl, unsaved, one day will stand before the quester, the judge of all the earth, and give an account. Here's a young man. He stood before the Saviour. He comes running. See his personable good master. Listen to what the Saviour said. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. I don't believe the Saviour was denying his deity. In fact, I would say he was saying he was deity. He didn't rebuff him for calling him good master. He says there's only one good, and that's God. Here's a young man, I believe he realized that he stood before the Son of God. Here he stands before the Son of God. Here he stands before the door of heaven. He stands before the omnipotent, omniscient God. And Christ knew what was in man. Christ knew what was a problem with this young man's heart. Do you know this? Christ knows the problem in your heart. If you're rejecting him, yes, you might have all the outward show, the outward appearance, just like this young man. But Christ knows the very depths, and he knows the intents of your heart. Here's a man coming, seeking eternal life. Are you seeking eternal life? He knew this young man was coming, seeking. He came to the door of heaven. Do you know what? Here was a young man that wouldn't enter. His possessions. He loved his possessions too much. When he weighed his possessions with eternal life, he chose his possessions. The Lord knew that young man's heart. He said, sell all that you have. Come follow me. But he wouldn't follow. Are you going to go away from Christ tonight? Are you going to choose your sin or choose that idol in your life and reject the Saviour? Do you not want eternal life? Do you not want peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, what a fool. Life and death. And that somebody would go and choose death over life. Here's a young man. And he went away sorrowful. Think of that judgment day, sinner, when you meet the Saviour. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. I see one who leave the presence of the Saviour sorrowful. For he knows what awaits an eternity in hell and torment. What are you going to sell your soul for? Are you trying your own way to get to heaven? Do you know what it will bring? It'll bring sorrow. It'll bring tears. And ultimately, it'll bring damnation. You know, there's life. And it's to be found in Christ. The wages of sin is death. There's the payment for sin written down. God is just. God doesn't wink at sin. We live in a day where the courts mishandle justice. But there's no miscarriages of justice with God. The sinner will pay for his sin. And each one of us that are saved, you can be thankful for the Saviour. For Christ bore the penalty of our sin on the cross. We've peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would seek first the kingdom of God. That you'd realise this day, set before you life and death. Choose life. Don't die. Don't try to work your way to heaven. There's one way. Christ is the way.
It's the way, the truth, and the life.
Unsaved, take Christ. Backslider, come back to Him. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Here's a young man who went away sorrowful, chose his possessions, and rejected the Saviour. Will you reject the Saviour, go away, and choose death over life? Oh, don't be a fool.